Now I am. So allowing our eyes to close as a kind of sign that we're entering the shrine. Gathering in the shrine. It's dark and welcoming in the shrine. And very silent. And feel that we're around an invisible altar, and this is what we do, and it's a very familiar ancestral ritual that we do, and we know it in our bones. We gather around this invisible shrine, this invisible altar. And this altar is dedicated to the truth. And by truth, I mean God or presence. Or mother, ma, or whatever name you hold for that invisible altar in your heart. You're just there, here, with each one of us. Turned towards this altar that is dedicated to that which you love the most. And so it's so easy to open your heart. To open yourself to that which you love the most. Even though it is invisible. And even though it has many names, and in the end, no name. No name because it's too close to have a name. Too close to your heart. And then simply surrender your experience moment by moment to this invisible altar. And it's not an effort because it's natural to surrender everything to that which you love the most. Every thought, every sensation, every breath, every sound, everything. Effortlessly placed on the altar. Moment after moment. And we have no expectation for our experience as we surrender it. We have no agenda. Because when we have an agenda, when we have an expectation, somehow we bend our experience. We alter our experience, we manipulate it. But of course, when you hear these words, then you think, well, I'm not going to manipulate or bend my experience. And in fact, that too becomes a bending of experience, an agenda. The agenda not to have an agenda. So see that. This is a relief. This is simply the proof that meditation, which is really what we're doing or not doing here, meditation is not an operation of the mind. The mind cannot meditate. The person cannot meditate. The person cannot meditate. It's God that meditates always, at every moment. So let God meditate right this moment. Let God meditate all around you, inside you, outside you. Doesn't make sense to the mind. Doesn't matter. When you feel that it doesn't make sense, that's when you feel the resistance, the tension, the holding, the kind of no, just place that layer of the person on the altar. At some point, the offering is seen to be completely natural, completely effortless. Nobody needs to do it. But to begin with, It's very okay to do it. You feel yourself grasping, holding, tensing. You feel yourself as a separate self, and you simply lay that resistance, tension, thought on the altar. You surrender it. You offer it. You say, God, here, take it. And the altar, it's not located, you see. I know you know this. It's everywhere. It's all around. It's borderless. It's that which surrounds every experience already. Everything that is perceived is already on the altar. And when we're in the shrine together, turned towards the altar together, it's easier to remember this, to taste it, to experience it. It's easier to know ourselves as that very altar. Now welcome the body. Welcome your body. Say to your body, you too are an offering to the altar. In other words, welcome your body and let it go moment by moment. Feel that you don't have to hold on to a solid, dense body, which is what the separate self feels it has to do outside of the shrine. I need my body to encage me and separate me from the world and from others. Somehow even if I'm a truth lover, even if I know better, still outside the shrine, I still feel my body needs to be my envelope, needs to protect me, defend me. So here now, tell your body you're free. Just free to be, and you can be however you want, and I'm not making any demands on you, body. I'm sorry for all the demands. Feel the temperature, feel the tinglings of the hands, feel the sensation of your shoulders, of your face. Feel whatever sensation calls for a bit of attention. But don't feel you have to read the label that the sensation comes with, because that's limiting the sensation or the feeling. You just say yes with your tactile. Friendliness. Say, yes, body, I hear you, I feel you. Look, you say, look, body, look, look, body, look, you are surrounded with borderless space. And it's not dead, this space that surrounds you, body. It's friendly. Say that to your body right this moment with your silent, tactile whisper. And then give the body time to discover this field of friendliness that surrounds it. Feel your shoulders, your arms, your hands, tingling of the palms, and the pull of gravity, which is like a call to let go. So trust gravity, give your arms over. And now your legs, feel your pelvis, your thighs, your knees, your calves, your ankles, your feet, the soles of your feet, your toes, the whole length of your lower body resting on the earth. Feel the pull of gravity, the sensation of weight is an invitation to surrender. And you just let it happen or not. You don't force it. You're not living inside this body. You are perceiving the body world. And you know the body world is made out of you, and it is made out of goodness, openness, freedom. But there may be layers of memory that say otherwise. You know, like a prisoner that whose cage is opened, it takes a while to adjust to the light. The body takes a while to adjust to this freedom. And so be it. Feel your face and memory, the memory of a face that works too hard on behalf of the separate self. Feel your forehead, your eyes, your mouth, your jaw, your cheeks. Say thank you, face, for putting up with this. Thank you, eyes, thank you, forehead, temples, cheeks, teeth, tongue, lips, nose, chin, ears. Look, you're alive. Let your face be off duty. It means that you have to feel your body, and it might be a bit uncomfortable, but don't bring in any labels. Be willing to feel the raw play of sensations that includes so-called tensions, no problem. Feel the skull of your head, top of your head, your hair. Can you feel your hair? Feel the back of your head. But then feel that your head really, can you tell where it ends and where the space all around begins? Not really, right? Feel that it's okay to inhabit a borderless body. Which is our true body. Feel your breath. She's alive. She's a she, the breath. Like a river. Feel the touch of the air in the nostrils. The movement of the belly with the in-breath and the out-breath. No demands, don't manipulate. It's so habitual that we manipulate the breath. And then, of course, I say that you try not to manipulate the breath, and somehow that's another efforting. So let God breathe. No person needs to breathe. Just let God breathe inside, outside, everywhere, breathing. Yes, and is the weight releasing into the earth, into the space? Let the body release its weight. No need for weight. I am weightless, says God. And my body is made out of me. My body is my cloud. I liberate it from any weight. Right this moment. Why not? But at the same time, don't be impatient with the feeling of density and resistance. Why? Why should we be impatient with our crying children? When there's resistance in the body, you just open wide your arms. Your invisible arms. And you have no agenda. Let this body shed its layers of suffering for as long as it wants. But feel yourself as the borderlessness, as the peace. You want nothing of the body. Simply you want to welcome it. Feel the borders of your body becoming more porous, more fuzzy. Don't see the edges of your body. Don't see the shape of your body, just your raw experience. The sensation of the air on the skin or the sensation of your clothes on your skin. That's the experience of the edge. Let that be porous, fuzzy. And then feel that this, feel the space inside and outside very alive. So then there's like a kind of, it's like the whole space is your skin. Every tactile sensation is your skin, inside and outside. And then slowly let's introduce a bit of flowing movement, very gently. First, let's allow for neck and head rolls, very, very slow, very small, slow and smooth, a neck roll. But there is no neck in our experience, it's just this raw ripple. nowhere to go, no reason to do anything. Let it happen. Collect all the layers that surface, all the layers of resistance that surface. You make a bouquet and you place it on the altar. Yes, now the head turns, the neck rolls the other way. Be the space that's enjoying the ripple. The ripple rippling in you. Yes, and then it stops, the head coming back. Now trace a circle with the whole torso around the edge of an invisible bowl. At first, the doer takes charge, and that's fine. Let the doer establish the movement, and then purify the movement of the doer. Feel nobody doing it. Feel I am the peace, I am the lake, and there is a ripple in me called body. Yes. Now feel the other way with the torso. But then feel that there are currents in this lake that are moving the body unpredictably. So now it's not a circle around an invisible bowl. It's more like an algae, a water plant being moved by currents of water. And then slowly let the body, the torso, come back to stillness. Don't do it. Witness it. Empty the body back into the space. Push the top of the head a little bit towards the ceiling. Let the shoulders drop down through the arms and through the palms of the hands into the support. Let the legs drop into the earth. The earth is like quicksand. The earth is friendly. She's alive. And the body and the earth love each other. And the top of the head is floating upwards. And the chin, where is the chin? Where does the chin want to be? C, natural. Back of the neck, long. Yeah, now don't push the head anymore. Just feel the whole torso like it free floating. It's free floating in openness. The legs are hanging, the arms are hanging, the spine is hanging. The breath is hanging. It's easy. And now slowly torso turning towards the left. Don't do it very slow, very, very shadow-like. Your hands, where do they want to rest? You are the space, saying to the body, hey, look, you can expand more into me. You can relax more into me. You're the earth saying that to the body. And now the torso, call to turn towards the right. Don't do it. Slow, slow. smooth, delicious. Hands, touch, tingle. Shoulders dropping, top of the head, towards the sky, the chin, the back of the neck. Feel the whole body. What is a body? It's not a mechanical thing for sure. It's alive. Welcome the resistance. This is also part of our ritual in the shrine. We be with this body and its resistance out of love for no reason. Yes, the torso comes back. Let it do it on its own. You're just openness. You just observe in delight. Make sure that every time the posture returns, the movement comes back to stillness, that the body is encouraged somehow to dissolve more, to melt more, not to reconstellate, not to resolidify. Not at all. I awareness, I openness, I don't always need a body. When I'm asleep, I don't need my body. And when I meditate in the shrine with my friends, when we share our being, and when our bodies are still, well, our bodies are having a break from being bodies. Give your body a break right now in this stillness. Your body's like a ghost, doing whatever it wants. Now, very gently, we're going to shift to a standing position, but go slow, go slow. Don't do it like we do it usually. Do it. Be creative. See how the body wants to come up to standing from sitting. And our eyes are still closed. If it's okay to have eyes closed when we're standing, sometimes it's not okay. We need to balance. So do what feels right. Feel your feet. What are feet in this moment? I know nothing about feet. I don't have a visual. I just have the raw sensation. Your heels, soles, tops of the feet, toes. Feel your legs, your arms, palms of your hands, tops of your hands. Can I feel the edge of my hand? Can I please not feel the edges of my hand? I'm so tired of feeling the edges of my body. Can I just feel my hands connecting with a space, because that's what they love to do? And then feel that kind of tactility of the hands. They're like champagne bubbles. And let that sensation colonize the body if it can. Let it rise up through the arms, all the way to the shoulders. And I know for some of us, the body's saying, ouch, ouch, in your legs or in your shoulders. That's okay. Don't resist. Don't resist the resistance. Say hello, hello. feel that this all around the resistance is friendliness. And now let your arms float into the space in front and let them be lifted by inflating cushions so that there's no effort. Weightless arms flying up towards the horizontal. Knees are a bit bent. And now carve the space right and left. Feel the edges of your hands pushing the space right and left. The arms are opening. Your spine and the back of the body, your scapula, the back of the neck, licking the space behind. Palms facing forward. And now the arms float up to the ceiling. You can do it. Little angels are pulling your fingers up, so there's no effort. Just two arms floating up to the ceiling. Don't go further than your body allows. Long fingers, but not visual long fingers. Sensation, long arms, but not visual arms. Empty the shoulders, drop the shoulders. Breath is free. Palms face each other. Stay. Except if you mustn't stay, and the body knows when it mustn't. But if it's a resistance, just really taste it. Don't move away from it. You're the openness. It's not a big deal. It's a little ripple. Now the torso turns towards the left. Just a little. Long neck. Breath. Yes. Heat in the shoulders. Offer to the space all around. And now to the right. Slowly. I know. My shoulders too. But I feel the openness all around. You. And now the torso back to the center and let your arms slowly come down. Don't do it. Taste it. It's like you're eating your arms as they dissolve. And then just continue to surrender the body to movement. Just see what happens if you simply allow the body to continue to flow, with movement. Your eyes are closed. There's absolutely no right or wrong, and you just listen to your arms, your hands, your hips, your knees, your feet, your breath, your belly, your pelvis, your shoulders, your head, your hair, your creature, the earth, the air. But you don't listen with your mind. You just let things happen. Just moving. Just movement. No right, no wrong. Thank you. body. Is open. prayer, the dance prayer, is beginning to gesture back towards silence and stillness, but trust the dance of moving back to silence. How does it happen? Discover it rather than do it. Trust your hands and your arms. Maybe there's a mudra, a natural mudra with your hands. A posture of the body. You just listen, you know, those postures that we see, prostrations, prayer, hands on the heart, whatever, they didn't come out of thinking. They came out of these innocent allowing of the body to be an object, not an object, a channel of devotion. And when it feels right, I gently come back to sitting position. Eyes are closed. Feel the space all around the body, very alive. Vibrating. And you surrender the body again and again. Feel your breath. And with every exhale, you let the body go. With every exhale, it's like a pathway, and you give the density of the body over to the exhale. It takes it back to the source. Then you let the next in-breath rise out of the source completely fresh. And then this breath takes what is willing to be taken. Long exhale. And feel that you're letting this breath be purified of the breather little by little, more and more. Nobody breathing. Just breathing, no separate breather. No separate body, just breathing. In breath, fresh. Pause and then long flowing out breath. No pushing. Pause. In breath, completely free, no defense. Let this in breath go wherever it wants, inside, outside. It's not clear where it's located anymore. Pause, and then the long flow. You're the openness, the source. The breath is the lullaby that you sing to yourself. Sometimes. And of course, I know that for most of us, there's still layers of the person, tension, feelings, agitation, fear, all the stuff of suffering, of the separate one. So be it. Just let the breath caress those layers, whatever they may be, that are encountered. The breath is the ambassador from the source saying hi and touching whatever is touched with love. And with the out breath, it's like, come with me, I'll take you home. Yes, now don't do anything. Just abide as that place from where the breath comes and to where the breath returns. Thank you. Take time emerging, opening your eyes. Oh, oops, my light fell. But we're not leaving the shrine when we open our eyes. That's a good news. I'm going to go pick up my light. Hold on. Thank you so much for partaking with me and coming with me on my little meandering. Let's see, we have about half an hour. So as always, if you want to speak, you can wave or put your little blue or yellow hand up and feel free to ask or share or recite or sing or it's nice to see all of you. Zombor, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing your name right, but please feel free to unmute yourself. Zombor. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Good to see you.
Good to see you. It's your first time, isn't it?
Actually, this is my second time, but the first time I came late and only joined for like 15 minutes, so technically, this is my first time.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. But I've been with Rupert now for, I don't know, a little over a year. And I have been, before Rupert as well, most of my experience has been with yoga, physical yoga, classical hatha yoga, and other movements, but it was mostly yoga. And my question today for you is, I think something that I've been struggling with a lot, and has been, I formulated it as a question, intellectualized it, try to solve it as many ways as it's possible, actually. Try to find it on the physical level by moving physically. I mean, moving from country to country, thinking about it, not thinking about it, or trying not to think about it, ignore it. So, what it is that how you led us previously, the last 1 hour. If I sit still, if I just surrender, it's relatively easy for me to experience, even physically as well, as a physical sensation, but in so-called the space of the mind as well, or just in awareness, openness. And the mind reacts to it as well in a way, like love and beauty comes up and spreads. But as soon as I want to live my life from that place, conflict comes. And the conflict is that obviously my conditioning, my mind, thinks it otherwise. And that fear that comes with... I don't want to give you a whole lot of details because I think it's useless, yeah. But the fear that arises in my mind, and it's not even the fear, but the doubt. It's more like doubting this love, doubting this openness, doubting that that this openness and this place of love going to maybe betray that it's not real, that it's that it's gonna...
But when you're in meditation, Dzongpo, it sounds like you do reach a glimpse. You can rest there. It sounds like you can rest there in meditation.
Yes.
But when you're back in life with your whatever you do, your relationships, then the doubt rises up, the fear, yes, the defense.
Yes, and it seems that it's...
Welcome to the big club.
Thank you so much.
Do you have this imagination that for all of the rest of us, we are living our lives 100% in line with the love and the beauty 24/7?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe not all of us, but, you know, I mean, I...
The rare ones that you aspire to become.
And not just that, but like, yes, but, you know, I had experiences and not just, you know, it wasn't just moments and it wasn't just like, and that's why maybe it...
But I mean, I'm hearing, you know, and I really, I totally hear you, Dzongpo, but I'm hearing many things, but I'm hearing, for example, a hierarchy of experience. There's an experience
exactly
in meditation that is blissful and heart open. And so, and you would like to live there. And unfortunately, somehow there's another experience that seems to be imposing itself at other times that you seem, you know, you, that's not... It's definitely a lower grade experience, and you would rather not have it.
And not just that, it's to a certain way, yes, but it's also that it's more like the hierarchy of perspectives. I think it's also about perspectives, because I think love...
There's only one perspective, Dzongpo. So even though, I mean, I'm just going to offer you my two cents, because but that's what's coming, is like there's only one perspective, which is the perspectiveless perspective.
Mm.
So we must, in a way, whether we feel the love, the beauty, and the truth, or we're feeling contraction, doubt, fear, the perspective doesn't change. The perspective is still consciousness, awareness, openness. And there must be a reason for you... For the doubt, if the doubt or the fear are there, there are many things you could do with it. Certainly not reject, because it's here, right? So you can do the self-inquiry on whose behalf, that I'm sure you do with Rupert, you know. But also maybe this fear and doubt need a bit of unpacking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's connected to some historical circumstance in your life, some trauma. And maybe you need to give it a bit more attention, because, mm-hmm, you know, what I feel when you said doubt and fear, I mean, those are at the surface, that's what the labels we give them, but what's under, you know? I don't know, and we don't have time here, but I would have thought that if you went a little bit, and you may have, so because I don't know you, so you may have done deeper work with it, but if you haven't, and if you spend a bit more time giving your loving attention to these feelings and seeing what's behind and unpeeling it, because there'll be other layers behind, layers and layers, and possibly under the fear and the doubt, there'll be pain or something even more visceral.
Mm.
And at some point, and also speak, sometimes it's helpful to speak to someone. What is absent in the equation of fear and doubt is love, right? You said it yourself, the field that you feel when you're in meditation, where the heart opens. Why? Because the oneness is felt, whether it's through higher reasoning or through the body, the fear dissolves because there's only me, there's only one. But when that's not felt is when doubt and fear are present. So, but I think I'm trying to encourage you to, I don't know, like to hold this as a vulnerability of yours, not a failing, not a vulnerability that needs a bit more exploration, more sharing, and more not knowing and respect, because after all, life is perfect. And so if we are faced with a difficult feeling, there must be a reason.
Yeah, I feel that for some time, I used also many of the so-called spiritual ways also as a way to subtly avoid it.
Yeah, so, I know. But I know that's not completely true, Zombor. Somehow I know that you've been journeying with it. So you've been trying, you've been using your spiritual, somehow it's not working. And and that's perfect, because we have to fail. There's somehow along the way, we all have to fail. And we're on our knees, and it takes different, it has a different shape for each one of us, but we have to, and it's easy to say we have to fail. Yeah. But what that looks like is very different, and it unfolds over a certain period of time. And it might, for some of us, it might be that we have a depression and we go to therapy, even though we're a truth lover and we know that there's nobody there and blah, blah, blah. We still go to therapy, and we do, because that's just what's happening. And it's so tricky, you know, this spiritual understanding, because it gives us this illusion that we've got a handle on it. We don't. I mean, the mind doesn't. But there is something that has a handle. It's you, you know, the true you has a handle. So trust. I don't know. I think we stop for today's number, so we give a bit of time for, because it's such a short, but
Thank you. Maybe
we can talk more another time.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much, Helen. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Well, I guess nobody else. We could keep going, but you are so sweet, each one of you. I wish I could speak more to it. So I want somebody else to ask a question along the same line, and then we can continue, and it can be, okay, Keith, thank you.
Hi. What really stood out for me there is we have to fail. Or it involves failing, because I really feel that a lot, that, and what I connected it with is like you're teaching us to not know. And what I mean by failing is that I have, whenever I get stuck, I have a fixed idea or a fixed state. And I keep observing it and feeling it. And still there's too much, in a way, certainty in it. And it's like what you said, to be a bit more questioning or see what's underneath it.
It's more, you know what, I hear you, Keith. To me, like, sometimes we have something that gets crystallized as a thought, a belief, I blah, 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 I, da, 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 I'm a, da, 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 or as a feeling, I'm scared, yeah. I'm doubtful.
Yeah.
As soon as it's crystallized and it has a nice label, you know that it's been hijacked by separation. It's in the hands of the separate self. It's validating the separate self. So what needs to happen then, I think, is in the in the case of a feeling that's crystallized, a feeling that's crystallized is a belief. I'm scared. I'm doubtful. Yeah. I'm a person. So we need to go back there, and we don't need to figure it out, but we definitely need to return it to life. You know, it's like this Sleeping Beauty, who like the feeling is in a tomb and it's not moving anymore. And that's why this we can merge with it as a separate self. It's me. It's me. This feeling is me, and it's stuck. It's not moving. It's me. No. Yeah, but exactly. in order for us to really, I don't know, know what's what, that feeling needs to come back to life. And in order to come back to life, it has to be felt. We have to go there somehow. We have to go there for a while. You know, let's say it's doubt or fear. We listen. Maybe we journal. Maybe we talk. Maybe we remember our childhood. Maybe we talk to us, whatever it is, and we feel in the body. But after a while, we stop because it's moving again. And okay, we let it on. It's going to do its thing, you know. As long as things are moving, it's fine. But it's when it's stuck, and when it's a big me label, then I don't know if that helps, Keith.
Yeah. Well, why I thought of it as failure, what it feels to me is that when there's something that wants to make it into something solid, and it feels there's some sense of safety, even if it's a blockage.
That's right.
And something unpleasant, there's something that has a sense of safety. And then when it breaks open or reveals it to be something else underneath, there's a sort of humbling.
It's undermining the separate self.
And that's what feels like failure.
Yes.
There's something that feels like a failure, even though it's a relief.
That's right.
Very humbling and painful for that reason.
But the thing that happens, you see, is the ground of the separate self has been taken away. But then very quickly we latch onto the next thing. Yeah. And then, you know, that's just what the separate self does. So at some point, when we've seen enough of that, and we've also tasted the real ground, which is never landing on a belief. It just doesn't do that. Our true self doesn't have that habit. That habit of latching on is the habit of separation, of separation. Of course, it is our true self that does. I mean, there's only awareness here moving. So it's a kind of, when I say it's not a habit of awareness, it is a habit of awareness, because it's only awareness doing this. But in other words, when awareness returns to itself and is no longer engaging in this game of hide and seek, then it loses its habit. It's not doing that. It's not land. There's a quality of remaining as openness, as fearlessness, peace. But the game will start again for most of us. Yeah. Less and less, possibly. And no, certainly less and less as we give our love to our true self. But we mustn't think that we're going to one day be floating, you know. You know, as long as there's a body mind here, a Keith, a Zombor, an Ellen, a Laura, a Holly, life is going to challenge and rest. There'll be a wrestling. It's like a constant eroding of these layers of separation. And it's fine, you know. It's, why not? It's a beautiful thing to blah, blah.
It's the fear of, it seems to be so much to do with the fear of painful feelings. That's what so.
Yeah, but you could go even deeper. It's the fear of dying. It's the fear of dying, the fear of disappearing. Because actually, when you really give yourself to a difficult feeling, anyway, I'm not finding my clarity tonight. But
yeah, I always feel very confused about that, whether I'm really afraid of pain or of death. Because I sometimes feel that the reason why I'm afraid of death is because there might be some painful experience after it or in it.
Well, that's very conceptual, but the fear is much more visceral. And you fear difficult feelings. In a way, the fear of feeling your pain is a habit of perpetuating separation. I'm not going to feel my pain, because it's scary. But that's what allows you to stay as a separate self.
Exactly.
So that's a whole construct. When you open to your pain, and openness means there's love there. You cannot open to your pain if there's not love, if there's not safety. When you open to your pain, it comes hand in hand with a kind of dying of the separate self, which leaves you unveiled. All that died was this habit of, I'm afraid of feeling my negative feelings because it's really very simple when we articulate it like this. The missing element in the equation is the touch of love, mostly. When, as soon as the love is there, and I'm not talking about personal love. Yeah,
I do find it hard to feel that.
I know.
Must admit.
Well, again, you're not the only one. But you do feel it at times, Keith.
I do at times, yeah.
So when you, whatever it is that reminds you of that love, and I'm not talking about conditional love, I'm talking about the love that comes from the heart opening, from your devotion to, whatever it is that allows that, cultivate that, It's like, I know. But, it's happening slowly at its own pace, Keith, because in a way it's not something you have to do. It's the love itself that does it. It's love that cooks us. It's God that takes us back. It's not us as a separate one. So don't worry about it.
Well, I know it's a lot to do with having faith in that. I visited my parents this weekend and seeing the anxiety and lack of faith, and in a way, lack of free-flowing love in the family constellation.
Yes.
So yeah, it's so much about having faith.
Yes. Being willing to feel this suffering in our families, this be willing to be present with these situations, and that itself, you see, is when we're willing, which is not easy, I know, but somehow there might be a willingness that arises out of grace, and then compassion comes.
Yeah.
And compassion doesn't come from the separate one, it just comes. And then a moment, your mother looks at you, your father, something happens, unplanned, out of the blue, something. The universe winks at you, always, one way or the other. But we have to be willing also to look for that, because what we do is we look for the misery. We are very attached to our misery because we're so used to it. It's so familiar. It's like our stinking socks, as my teacher used to say. Like, they're stinky, but they're familiar. They're safe. Anyway, thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Jan.
We all have stinky socks on the altar. Stinks in this shrine. But it's also very fragrant in the shrine. We have a bit of time. Corinne's not here. I can't see Corinne today, so I think we don't have... Hi, Stephen. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Well, I just wanted to continue the reflection on this topic. Obviously, I too feel this pulse between opening and contracting and opening and contracting. And it's just kind of reflecting on how I've been holding it, because if I identify with one or the other, then I start feeling caught. But it just feels like as I trust and accept, there is a pulsation, just like there's a breathing in and breathing out, or a blinking of the eye, or a beating of the heart.
That's beautiful.
Or if you think about the ocean and it's waving, and it's repetitive, right? It's all, you know, the waves just keep coming in and they keep coming in. In the same way, my thoughts keep coming in, my sensations keep coming in, my feelings keep arising. It just feels that if I take an attitude of trust and acceptance and open to the waves and the ocean, there's just kind of a relaxation in that natural pulsation that, okay, thoughts arising, surrendering into opening, thoughts arising.
That's lovely, really lovely.
I just keep allowing, you know, that and not feel like there's something wrong with a wave or there's something wrong with the thought.
Yes, absolutely. And even, you know, when we're in the throes of life and we might be with our partner or, you know, and some negativity comes or some, that too is, you know, we have such a kind of spiritualized notion of how it should look. But the wave, yeah, the pulsation, the pulse, like you say, it, you know, the control.
Yeah.
Sometimes it...
Sometimes I think of it like a grip, like the hand grips, and even in a relationship there can be a grip, and then we begin to relax, and then it's always the same hand, isn't it? You know, it's just, it's gripping or it's opening.
Yeah, and just... I more and more feel, because, and I don't know if some of us might not be in that kind of way of thinking about it, but I do feel there's a very valid case for exploring, even though we know that in the end experience comes and goes, like you described, and they come and go in the ocean, which is me. So in a way you could say, well, no need to explore the content of experience, as explore that which perceives the background of experience, the source. But I do feel more and more that actually our experience, each one of us, our lives, our journeys, our trajectories have a lot of intelligence. How could it not? And it's very valuable to explore with a therapist, with a whatever, you know, to not just with a therapist, but to look, to uncover, to explore our dreams, but with a loose grip, not because I'm going to get better, and you know, but because then this beautiful thing you describe is I don't know, somehow it's freer, it's, there's more space, more oxygen. I don't actually know how to put it into words, but I do feel that it has its own value to explore.
It seems in some ways that the consciousness has a natural, obviously it feels very open, but there's also a curiosity.
Yes.
There's an aliveness and there's a curiosity with that openness.
Yes.
And that becomes a natural exploration.
That's beautiful. That's exactly, exactly. And we shouldn't be afraid of it simply because we're non-dualists, you know, and we think, oh, I can't, I must. No, go. In the end, it's life that's non-dual, you know, it's life. It's not the person. And clearly, life is so creative and unpredictable and responsive. And anyway, it's very nice what you shared, Stephen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, guys and girls. Thank you very, very much for coming. And feel free to unmute yourselves. We're going to stop. Wait, let me just read the chats and see if there's any. Dear Ellen, could you say a word about what is the self-inquiry from Rupert? I think I'll leave that one for tonight. you can go to Rupert's webinar. or, you know, actually there's a lot on YouTube, but Ombre, so he's very clear, so you'll get a good idea. Okay. Thank you for coming. Unmute yourself so I can hear your voices. Bye. Hi, Sarah.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye bye. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye,
thank you.
Steven.
Thank you.
Bye,
Erica.
Bye, Canon.
Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks,
Ellen. Bye bye. Bye, Marley. Bye, Muriel.
Nice. Thank you. Bye.
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 Thank you. Bye, Corinne.
Hi.
Bye, Laura.
Bye. Thank you.
Welcome. Bye, Alice.
Bye. bye, Gangama.
Bye, Gangama.
And thank you for playing. Bye.
Give me the.